Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Football Fanalytics podcast in association with 23. This is the show that explores the ever-growing world of football analytics and takes on the many tactical and topical discussions within the game. The Fanalytics pod is back. Did you miss us? My name is Mark Carey and joining me as ever is Ryan Bailey. And before I actually ask him how he is, I am going to embarrass him a little bit because every time I ask Ryan how he is, there seems to be something that's changed because it was his birthday. It was his 30th birthday recently.
once upon a time.
He'd moved house recently, which is very exciting. And this time, everybody, Ryan Bailey is now engaged, which is very, very exciting. He's back off his holiday. He's tanned. He's got even blonder hair than normal. And he's now engaged. And I won't embarrass him any further. But Ryan Bailey, how you doing, mate?
I'm blushing. But thank you. You're right. When you reel it off like that, it makes it sound like I've done all the things you meant to do over the course of 5 years in 1 year. I've also got a cat in the last couple of days,
which you've got
to mention. I've got a ginger cat that 4 days after I came back from holiday, my girlfriend, now fiance, I say made me get, but I actually really like the cat. He's really cool. He's very ginger and I wanted to call him Paul Scholes, but she was having none of it. None of it.
I'm trying to think who else could be a football based.
I thought David May, but I thought that wasn't as glamorous.
David May, imagine calling a cat David May. We're already getting sidetracked, Ryan. We're not very well practiced in doing this podcast.
If anyone can think of any redhead good players, though, who could be a name for my cat, then do send them in because, you know, I'm still trying to push them.
There you go. No, you never do miss a beat there. You've already got the listeners involved. Well done. But no, I certainly feel out of practice because we've not done this in a while. But as I said before, we are back. And we've got plenty of exciting episodes to come, haven't we, I suppose? But before we look forward, let's look back to maybe what maybe you have missed, more so, because you've been away on holiday.
Basically swanning around for a month, so I've missed a lot of football, basically.
I'm trying to think about all the things you have missed. You've come back at the perfect time to see the Women's Euro semi-final and the final.
Absolutely.
Which has been hugely exciting.
Did you? I mean, presumably you've watched most of the games anyway, but the most recent one obviously was England-Sweden last night, which is very exciting. A well-deserved victory, would you say?
Absolutely well-deserved victory. Sweden are a good side, but they just didn't really turn up. There was the start of the game, I think England were under the cosh, to use the exact phrase, but I think ultimately a 4-0 victory, you can't really complain to say that it wasn't deserved, but what a great game. We've got the France-Germany semi-final to come and the final, of course, at the weekend. So the Women's Euros has been a massive, massive success on many levels. I went to a game myself last week now, I think.
Which one?
The Austria-Germany game, which was a really interesting tactical game, which I thought was good to see. I'm trying to think what else you've missed, Ryan. You've missed a lot of transfers all around Europe. Trying to think of some of the main ones. Raheem Sterling, gone to Chelsea, of course.
Was that out of the blue? I mean, it felt out of the blue from my point of just following the news while I was away. But was that something anyone saw coming?
I'm not entirely sure. I was just thinking of the pun of it's out of the blue, from the sky blue to the to the other blue. But
you never miss a beat.
I don't know. I think he maybe wanted to play more regularly. But I mean, what a move that is for Chelsea.
Yeah,
because you're
absolutely
getting a fantastic English talent there, and he's still in the prime of his career. Let's have it right.
I read somewhere that he was 27. Is that true?
Yeah, I think about 27. You got
that's
plenty of
absolutely
years.
Bonkers, because Raheem Sterling has been around, especially at the top level, forever, hasn't he? Which is, you know, mad that he's still technically entering, you know, or in the peak years. After listening back to the episode we did, but that's, you know, he's certainly not getting on, is he? He's still potentially best to come.
Yeah, I think it was 2011, maybe 2012, that I think he broke through for Liverpool. So getting on for 10 years now. But Raheem Sterling, Gabriel Jesus and Oleksandr Zinchenko gone from Manchester City to Arsenal as well. Obviously, Erling Haaland gone to Manchester City. Calvin Phillips as well. Manchester United have signed Lisandro Martinez, Tyrell Malacia, Christian Eriksen. That's an interesting one. Spurs have been very active in the market. Richarlison, Ibra Sumer, Jed Spence, even Perisic. So many players. Liverpool have brought in Darwin Nunez as well. So that's just the top six alone. But there's so many exciting signings to talk about.
It's also, while you're away, it's the ones that go under the radar that you don't see as much press about that sort of surprise you when the first fixtures come up. So hasn't James Tarkowski moved to Everton? And Ben Mee to Bournemouth, I saw. These are the kind of ones that when I'd be watching the first of the games, I'd be like, oh, you play for them now. Fine, okay.
Yeah, Dwight McNeil, I think, to Everton is pretty certain to happen as well. So the exodus of Burnley, basically, is what you just listed there, which is fun. But I think, what's your thought on this whole transfer window, in the sense that there's a lot of movement between Premier League clubs, and granted that isn't, you know, too outrageous when you say about someone like James Tarkowski going to Everton, but amongst the top teams, you know, we spoke about, you know, Raheem Sterling going from City to Chelsea, Gabriel Jesus and Oleksandr Zinchenko going from Manchester City to Arsenal. Do you think that's the sort of thing that's kind of here to stay?
It's not something that I can remember seeing in as many years gone by, actual selling top, very relevant players to sort of what you might call rival clubs. I know that Arsenal aren't necessarily challenging Man City anytime soon, title-wise, but they're still within the same bracket, aren't they? Mm. I mean, you know, can think of a time when, like, David Luiz went to Arsenal and Willian and that kind of stuff. But to sell Gabriel Jesus, I mean, he's going to be good, isn't he? I would say.
Yeah. I think they'll shape the forward line around him a little bit more.
I think.
You know, for all intents and purposes, I think he's going to play more of a central role, figuratively and literally, where he's not going to be as much on the wing, because they've got such good wide forwards, obviously, Arsenal. But yeah, it does seem to be an interesting one. I think that it's simply because the Premier League is often now the only league that can afford the top players. So they've basically, no one else can afford them elsewhere. So it's kind of just a closed shop of sorts. Often the top players aren't necessarily leaving the Premier League clubs anymore.
I mean, unless you're going to Barcelona, but I still don't understand. I've read so many articles and I still don't understand how they're signing players. But then I saw someone say, you don't need to understand it, it makes sense. I was like, okay, fair enough. But I mean, that's a bit of a shambles, isn't it, going on over there?
Well, we could and maybe should do a whole episode on that, because I just think it's an interesting one. There's so much forward talent amongst Barcelona. While they are just signing in what I deem to be a bit of a shotgun approach, it seems to be really... not too much method to the madness. But you look at their forward line, I suppose. They've got, obviously, Rafinha, Ousmane Dembele, Ansu Fati, Robert Lewandowski, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. They've got Ferran Torres. There's probably others that I've forgotten. It's a ludicrous forward line. That's before you even think about the midfield and obviously the defence.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? In actual terms of pre-season stuff, how much emphasis do you put on pre-season results, pre-season performances? From what I've seen, Manchester United have had a very good pre-season. Arsenal have too. Didn't Arsenal batter Chelsea 4-0? And then I read that Chelsea sort of looked like they hadn't had much preparation at all, which is quite interesting, going in to say that we're, you know, a week and a bit away from the first fixtures. How much can you put on pre-season?
It's a good question. Mine probably would be caveated by, it depends on what the club situation is, right? So if Erik ten Hag is, you know, obviously just starting and getting his first pre-season under his belt, then you start to find some interesting patterns, some interesting formations, some interesting styles within the Manchester United team that you wouldn't have otherwise seen because it's his first pre-season. So that I think you'd find interesting and place some stock in. Nothing on the results, I don't think, but obviously on the style. Someone like Manchester United or Liverpool, again, thinking about those top teams, maybe less so because you know that they have a very clear identity, the way that they play. Of course, bringing Erling Haaland and Darwin Nunez in, maybe a slight change, so there could be something there. But in terms of, I don't know about you, but in terms of the results in pre-season, I place very little stock in it. But the Thomas Tuchel thing was interesting about Chelsea losing 4-0 because he came out after and pretty much said that we were miles off it in the game. Yeah. We've still got a couple of signings that we can't get over the line, essentially. And you think you shouldn't be, maybe get, there shouldn't be problems already.
No.
I think he's either, you know, a bit discontented with the fact he hasn't brought in those players, or he's just really not happy with his team in general. But that seems a bit of a alarm bells ringing there a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, I guess we will see. As you mentioned, that's not very far away. And as you said before, we've got the Euro 22 to conclude first. So we know that England are in the final. At the time of recording, France and Germany play each other tonight. Let's make an embarrassing prediction now so that we're probably wrong by the time this goes out tomorrow morning. Who do you think is going to play England in the final?
I think it's going to be France.
Yes.
I would prefer it to be Germany. I'm not going to stick my neck out on the line and predict a scoreline, but I'm going to throw it back to you straight away and ask you what you think.
I'm predicting the penalties.
Ooh.
Straight out penalties,
wow.
I reckon. Again, when have I ever got a prediction right? So I'm sure it's going to be wrong. But I'd quite like Germany to go through because from what I've seen of France, they look really strong. But I haven't watched too much of Germany, so maybe I'm wrong there. But that's very exciting anyway, isn't it? I know on Sunday I will be absolutely having the best time watching the final, whatever happens. And then we've got stuff coming up, Mark. What have we got coming up? Because we're back now. And
we are back.
This is the start again.
Don't know if I told you, but we are back.
We're back.
Yes, we are back. We've got loads of stuff coming up. We'll be referring to most of the things that we spoke about just then, I suppose, reflecting on the transfers, how they're doing in the early stages of the season, of course. We've got loads of fun ideas already. We've got our ideas page that's full. We want to look at manager analytics, as you'd like to call it.
Anything with analytics on the end, I'm fine with. Yeah.
Correct. Fine. Well, on that note, we're going to look at refalytics as well, which is, I think, is an untapped market of sorts. I think that'll be a fun one to look at. I think we can maybe look to see which referee has kind of gone into their pocket the most and dug out the yellow and red cards, which I think will be a funny one as much as anything. We've got some ideas to look at goalkeepers. I think we've touched upon it before, but a real deep dive into looking at goalkeepers and how we can look at goalkeepers from an analytics perspective. And loads of guests. We've got a few people that we want to contact, a few people who we've already contacted who are coming on soon, but loads of fun ideas and hopefully some really good guests coming on as well.
And next week we are going to kick off, because there's only 1 week to do it. We do, obviously, we love our annual fantasy football episode, don't we? Where we pick our fantasy football teams. We've got a slight twist next week, haven't we? And a guest involved as well, which we shan't share too much about now. But next week's going to be fantasy football, which we know a lot of our listeners are involved in and really enjoy. And then the season starts and we're on. We're off.
Are we on or off?
Hang on, did you say we're on or we're off? Who knows
We are back is what we are, right? And you left... You left the listeners on tenterhooks there by saying, yeah, it'll be our hat trick of FPL episodes. It'll be our third one on the Fanalytics podcast. And we do have a guest on, so please look out for that one. But in the meantime, we will leave you with that hook for you to tune in next time. If you want to get in contact with any ideas that you want us to discuss ahead of the new season, then hopefully everyone knows by now how to get in contact with us. We are on an email at fanalytics.pod@gmail.com, or of course on social media, on Instagram and on Twitter at FanalyticsPod. Don't know if I told you, but we are back, everybody.
You haven't said it enough. We are back.
We are back. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.